You are listening to Go Dock Yourself, your weekly documentary book club. Listen in while we two errands dissect our most recent documentary find. Sometimes weird, sometimes mainstream, but always entertaining. Grab a cup of coffee and let's clatch.
Hi, and welcome to Go Dock Yourself. I'm Erin McCart.
And I'm Erin McCart. Hello, everyone. We're glad you're with us this week as we talk about a somewhat controversial subject. I don't think it should be, but we're going to talk about the ABCs of book banning. This was done in 2023. It is 27 minutes long. I found it on Paramount Plus. I think you can also find it on other places. Where did you see it?
Well, I started it on YouTube, and then when I came back to finish it, it was no longer available on YouTube, and I was like, well, that seems odd, so then I went to Paramount Plus and finished it. And I was like, I'm glad I know where I left off. Right.
That's my problem with Tubi, because I don't necessarily have an account. Anytime I stop, I have to, like, remember where I was.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is directed by Sheila Nevins, co-directed by Trish Edlesik and Nasnet Habgetsi. Habdetsky. I slaughtered that name. I am so sorry.
Well, they can come for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they're there. I'd actually love to talk to a director, so I'm in.
Yeah, right. First, we'll apologize for the name slaughtering, and then we can have a good conversation.
Yes, agreed.
So at the beginning of this, they have a couple little blurbs up just to give you some background and some information. So they say over 2,000 books have been removed from school districts in the United States, and these books have been labeled either restricted, challenged, or banned, and are generally not available to millions of students in up to 37 states. Restricted is defined as limited access to the book, and in addition, parental consent is required. Challenged is an attempt to remove or restrict materials based upon the objections of a person or group. I like that a person can do this. It seems like an overreach.
Terrible.
And banned is any book that has been fully removed from the shelves of the school libraries or classrooms.
I guess I think about restricted, you know, librarians. I mean, obviously they hate this whole thing, but I'm sure the process to document whether a kid has access to a restricted book is probably not that straightforward, right? Like, it's probably one of those things that might as well be banned.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's a lot of school's way to get around actually banning it. Well, it's not really banned. It's just restricted, knowing that no one's ever going to get to see it because of that, because they can't monitor everyone's use of it.
Right. So at this point, there's a lady named Grace Lynn. She is going into a school board or school district meeting. She's 100 years old. She's challenging that district and their book banning policy. She's an amazing human being. She kind of comes in two different times within this short documentary, but she discusses that her husband died in World War II for freedom, including the freedom to read stuff. Doesn't matter what the stuff is. And she specifically cites, you know, the Nazis were big on book banning. It's like, yeah, it's not got a good connotation when you limit people in reading.
Yeah, when you start limiting the ability to learn and grow, then you're on the wrong side of history, because you're trying to control in a way that is not okay. What's interesting to me is this was Martin County, Florida. I used to live in Martin County, Florida, so this tracks pretty fucking well, actually. Not good.
Florida has a terrible rap.
Of late, yeah. So,
I mean, deservedly so.
Yeah. So this documentary also features a lot of children, specifically the children from Mrs. Burns' fourth grade class in Jacksonville, Florida, which is not Martin County, Florida, because that's farther south, but it's all in Florida. Florida's a problem. Mm-hmm. It's a problem child. One of them.
Yeah, which is kind of amazing to me, because when I think of Florida, I don't think of people raising children there. I think of snowbirds. That's all I think about anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's, I mean, obviously there are students there and there are parents there, and oh my God, they've got so much going on. it's almost strange to think that they have time to review all of these books.
Yeah, that's the first thing I think of when people start getting really upset about shit like this. They're like, I'm like, you've got way too much time on your hands. You need a hobby. Take up knitting, take up underwater basket weaving or skeet shooting or something, and just calm down. Yoga.
Maybe get a really, really good vibrator.
That's not allowed in Florida either, I'm sure.
Oh, well, that's probably true.
That might be part of the problem.
That's what I was saying. Like, life is for living a little bit, like not just shitting all over everybody's good time. And I'm not saying all these books are a good time. I mean, there are certainly books that deal with, I mean, all kinds of life events. Mm-hmm. And I'm fascinated to think, if you raise children that never have to deal with difficult ideas or situations, what the fuck kind of adult are they going to make?
Oh, a very fragile one. I'm assuming these kids also never have anyone say no to them. You know, I just
think it's a travesty for those kids, because you cannot protect them from everything. Like, there's going to be moments where they're like, huh, things are not the way I thought they were going to be.
Well, and let's think about the kids that are being protected. They're cis, het, white children, right? Yeah. Because the books that are being banned, and they list off quite a few books in this documentary, but a lot of them are ones that discuss things like Black history, talk about LGBTQ lifestyles, or just life in general, because they're just living like everybody else. It's not like they have some crazy life going on. They're just living. Of the Holocaust, war, anything that might make the white people who are currently in charge of our lives look like anything less than a hero, in my opinion, was pretty much on this list.
I was shocked to see some of the things. I want to read a few of them. Maybe fucking I'll read all of them, but I don't know. Okay. They list a shit ton of books. Mm-hmm. However, I did have to go back and find why some of these were considered controversial. It was not apparent to me from the documentary or the title of the book. Sometimes they had like the book and a blurb from the book. And that wasn't always clear, because I wrote a few things down. And then when I went back to check, I was like, oh, absolutely not what I thought. But I'm, you know, glad the internet exists for me in that moment. So Kurt Vonnegut, Indiana native, Slaughterhouse-Five. That book has some depictions. It's violent. There's some stuff going on in there. I understand why that one would be up there. But again, these are, you know, human themes. And I find it very unfortunate. Go Tell It on the Mountain, James Baldwin. Mouse, which is an Art Spiegelman book. Of course, that's a Jewish history one that you hit on a little while ago. Kind of a Holocaust, not a memoir, but like somebody else's memoir of somebody who lived through the Holocaust is how they kind of explained it in a slightly better way. The Bluest Eye, Toni Morrison. There were actually several Toni Morrison books on here, and they've got some, obviously some Black history or just Black lives themes. Yeah. Maybe some violence, that kind of stuff. MLK, Journey of a King. I could not find why that was on the list. I assume also Black history.
Well, I'm guessing it probably talked about more than just the I Have a Dream speech. Because I like during MLK Day, a lot of times you see these white politicians coming out. And yeah, he was a hero and he wanted peace and he didn't want to have any kind of violence. I'm like, I don't think that's necessarily all true. Did he want violence? No. Did he understand that nothing changes without violence? Yes, he did. So I think, you know, once you take those little blurbs that they like to talk about out of context and put the whole book around it, they're probably like, oh, we don't like that. That's not okay.
Well, I think also it brings up the question of why did he have to protest and give amazing speeches in the first place?
Yeah.
It's because of, stupid racism. So right along with that, The Life of Rosa Parks. This is the Famous Lives series. Like, this is a great little series of books. I know Riley did one on Pocahontas one time and it was so cute. But yeah, I'm like, wow, these are not just upper reading level books. The Kite Runner, I don't know exactly. I could not find a lot about that, but it is written by Khalid Hosseini. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. So that one might be on my list to explore a little bit further. The Hobbit. Do you know why The Hobbit is on there?
I have no idea. Because it's too long and he was paid by the word.
That's right. It's offensively long. And that's why we had to get it off the shelves. What I got from Google was satanic themes. It's got some, they think it's satanic.
Well, the Eye of Sauron is pretty terrifying, I guess. I don't know. I've never read the books. But
I could barely sit through the movie. I know. Anyway. okay. There's the story, let's see, Pride, quotations, parentheses, the story of Harvey Milk and the rainbow flag. I'm pretty sure that's LGBTQIA+. Mm-hmm. The 1619 Project. I believe that's about slavery. So another common theme on here. Handmaid's Tale, Margaret Atwood. I wasn't sure why this one was on here. Do you want to hazard a guess?
I'm going to guess that because this dystopian reality is what the Republicans actually want. And if you see it as negative, then that's not okay.
Yeah, there were several ones for this. So I don't think it's been flagged for just one reason, but there's LGBTQ stuff in there. There's some violence mm-hmm. in there. There's some anti-Christian stuff in mm-hmm. there. That's how it's been interpreted. And I was like, I was waiting for that to come up. So going back to your fourth graders in Mrs. Burns' class, there were several kids that spoke. Did you have any that you wanted to call special attention to? I wrote down plenty of names.
I wrote down a lot of names. The ones that stood out the best or the most to me, one was Corbin. He was 7 and he had the best mullet I've ever seen. Honestly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was like, they were talking about a children's book called And Tango Makes 3, which is about 2 male penguins who were a couple, and penguins are known to mate for life. And so mm-hmm. they're a couple and they really wanted a child. So they kept collecting rocks to try to get it to hatch. And then eventually I think the zookeepers gave them an egg that they were able to raise and sit on, and it hatched. And so they had their own baby. It's a very sweet story. I think it's actually a real story that they made a book out of, or maybe, mm-hmm. maybe the zookeepers got the idea from the book. I don't know, but I think I remember hearing it in the news at one time. It's very sweet.
It is really sweet.
Of course, it's banned. And these kids, you know, like Ridley, who is 8, and Corbin, who's 7, they're like, why? I mean, they love each other. They're just going to raise a kid. What is the big deal? Like, kids understand that it's just love, you know?
Right. They're not scandalized by this mm-hmm. at all. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I remember when, I want to say it was Declan was really little, and we had friends that were gay, and he said something, you know, someone might've made a comment about, you know, them kissing. And he's like, well, why does, you know, Uncle X kiss Uncle Y? And I'm like, because they love each other. And he was like, okay. And he moved on. That was the end of the conversation. No one cared.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Yeah.
Can we talk about, there's a book called, I think this is the name of the book. At least it's a page in the book. The hips on the drag queens go swish, swish, swish. And I'm like, where is this book? I need it now.
I'm buying this for every person who's having a child in the future. That is my baby shower gift for every child coming into this world now. It's done by Little Miss Hot Mess. And she reads some of the book. And I am in love with it.
Right. So obviously that's a young children's book, mm-hmm. right? And the artwork is so full of life and joy, and it is so cute. Yeah. And obviously, after all the hubbub about the drag queens reading to children and how scandalous it was, I can hardly say that with a straight face anymore. Like, they're not the problem. They're not the predators of your children. That's your pastors.
Yes.
And your youth ministers, like,
yes.
If I had a choice of who to leave my young children with, it would be like the biggest black man would be fine. The drag queens, mm-hmm. fine. Better not be a pastor coming near my kid. No, thanks.
No, not no. Nowhere near my kids.
Exactly.
My other favorite child from this is Taylor, who was 10. But she looked like she was ready to just head the first of her CEO board meetings. The first of many, I might add. She had like a little suit on her, little glasses on. That girl is going to take over the world. I know it.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about a book about ambitious girls. I think it's called Ambitious Girl. And, you know, it's essentially just teaching young girls. And this book happened to portray a girl of color. But teaching young girls to be strong and have a voice, because we're told so often to be polite and calm and let people walk all over you or whatever. And I love that Taylor says, if you read this book and still thought it needs to be banned, then something is not clicking in your brain. There's something wrong with you, essentially. I agree, Taylor. I agree.
Yeah. A couple of the other girls that comment about this, June says, it makes her remember her self-confidence. And Newly said, it's teaching girls to be powerful. And I did not find why that is a problem. I mean, like, I couldn't find why it's restricted. I know why some people would say it's a problem, because, oh my God, what if there are strong and powerful women? We have to limit that.
It's already getting to the point where we are being blamed for men not being able to have girlfriends and have sex, and we get killed for that. So this, and on one hand, is probably dangerous for girls to put them in that situation. But on the other hand, empowering women is only going to benefit society. It has been shown in many cultures that by empowering women and educating women in society, everyone in society gets higher. It just does better.
Yeah. Yeah. Women lift people up.
Yeah, we do.
And as women have more power, they're going to lift people up. And I don't know why we have to keep learning this lesson. Yeah, so people at the top get threatened, and it's just like, well, Jesus Christ, these strong ladies.
It's like the scurvy lesson all over again. Like every time someone got on a ship, they forgot what caused scurvy, and they're always surprised when their teeth fall out and their gums are bleeding and they're dying.
Yeah, I do like that story, because we forgot many times.
Yeah.
And I think my favorite instance of that, I don't know if they talked about it in...
You're Wrong About?
This Podcast Will Kill You.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was. Sorry.
Might have been the lore, too. I'm not sure. But they were like, yeah, somebody got really close because they had like a vat of boiled lemon juice. It was boiled. Like, and so anyway.
So close.
Because it doesn't work. The proteins don't work. Okay. Anyway.
We do get to hear from Amanda Gorman, who read excerpts from her book, The Hill We Climb, which is restricted. And I love this young woman. She is so eloquently spoken, and her writing is so beautiful. I love everything about her.
Yeah, she's a powerhouse. And I when I saw her on there, I was like so excited, but of course, her prose is banned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we can't have an eloquent, I don't know, just I a girl crush hardcore on me.
Exactly. So. Yeah. Like, can we just be friends? Can you just act like you're my friend?
Right.
Yeah. So throughout this documentary, they are putting up books that are banned or restricted and some blurbs from them. One of them was Anne Frank's Diary. I'm guessing that would, I mean, that's been banned, that's been challenged, that's been everything. And I'm guessing because there are themes of the war and violence, and I think there's some probably lustful scenes, and it's been 30 years since I've read that book, so I don't remember everything. Her talking about liking a boy, her talking about masturbation, I think at one point, in one version, if not all the versions.
Yeah, that's a young lady named Avalee. She's 16. She specifically talks about that, and she said, you know, all the books that I've ever read had vital information that contributed to the person that I am today. And so I think she's staunchly on the side of let kids read stuff.
Yeah.
And I wish that didn't fall on deaf ears, because we so have a tendency to not listen to kids in this society. But I'm going to tell you, the kids in this documentary, they got it going on.
Yeah.
So,
and they all talked about, they didn't understand why books were banned. They are frustrated because they can never get the books they want to read. The books that are available to them are either beneath their reading level or they're books they've already read. So they're clearly not able to learn and grow. As my best friend Corbin said, he wants to learn stuff to know stuff about stuff. And I don't know that it could have been said better, Corbin.
I mean, he is business in the front, if you have to say that.
That's right.
So, one I kind of wanted to talk about, the book Rosa, mm-hmm. by Nikki Giovanni, who reads some selection in this. And they show a little snippet of an interview or something, like a virtual interview with her. And she said, banning books gives words power over you. And she said, a word can't hurt you unless you let it hurt you, which is an interesting thing to say, because I think there are pretty inflammatory words that can go around. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing to consider is the ideas that are communicated in these books only have power over you if you let them have power. I think it's interesting that people realize that ideas are strong. They can contribute and change the way people feel and think and, you know, make them less controllable. So anyway, Nikki Giovanni, she's a neat lady. There's a young girl named Yeye. She's 9. She would like to ask the person who banned the book Rosa, why? Why ban this book? Like, was she not a good person? Was she, you know, and I would really like to see an adult explain to a child.
Yes.
What the problem is here.
Yeah.
I think that would be fascinating to watch somebody like trip over their face trying to like not sound like an asshole.
That's why when someone says a really sexually aggressive joke, and instead of laughing or whatever and pushing it off, you ask them, I don't understand, can you explain that to me? And it makes them really uncomfortable.
Tell me more about that.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we can guess that the reason why it's banned is because Rosa didn't follow the rules. Rosa should have stayed in her place, and they don't want people to think that it's okay not to follow the rules. And you need to stay in the place that we have designated for you. And so try to explain that to a child who's trying to grow and become an adult someday.
Yeah, because what we want from children is to follow authority, right? Like, we don't like an unruly child, especially a girl. We can't have that.
No.
So,
yeah, because if you think about it, like, she was breaking the law. Anyone who stood up against the Nazis was breaking the law. Those people who stand up against those things. So whenever someone of color specifically gets killed for a traffic stop where nothing has gone wrong and they haven't done anything wrong, but they're killed anyway. And they're like, well, if they just would have listened to the officer, they just would have followed the law. And I'm like, that's really not the excuse you think it is. That's not mm-hmm. a really good explanation.
And I think that was,
The Hate U Give.
Yeah. The Hate U Give discussed, like, a main character mm-hmm. was killed by a police officer. They didn't really explain why, but I think the kid had like a comb or something in his hand and the police officer shot him. And that's when you're like, well, if they just didn't run it. Like, the problem is the officer expected it to be a weapon or something mm-hmm. instead of saying, you know, maybe that's a kid with a comb. I don't know. It's more than I want to talk about here. It's just so frustrating. 2 Degrees. That's a book I didn't know. It is restricted. And when I specifically had to look up why, there are ideologies and political views that people didn't like for the protagonists of this book. It is like about middle schoolers, for middle schoolers, and they did not like that frame of perspective. So
guess
that's stupid.
Guess who's going to go read that book now? Me, because I have to know what that's about.
Mm-hmm. Well, then there were some really fucking weird ones. Like, why is Wicked on this? Why is Wicked on this list? Why is Wicked banned?
Probably witchcraft.
And if you don't know, Wicked is the sequel to Wizard of Oz, or a prequel. It's prequel, in that universe. Yeah. Let's say it. Okay, there you go. I can tell you, I couldn't make it through this book.
I've seen the musical and I loved it, but it's Aphelba, yeah, who is the Wicked Witch of the West, and mm-hmm. I cannot remember, Glinda, is that the Good Witch of the North? Whatever.
Yeah, North, yeah.
I don't know. They're in school, it's early on, it's kind of her genesis, if you will, Aphelba's genesis.
Right.
So, but the only thing I could think of is maybe the witchcraft portion of it.
I do have a note that says perceived sexual content. And I'm like, okay.
Have they read the Bible?
I don't know, Erin. Forever by Judy Blume.
There are a couple by Judy Blume, I'm sure, that have been on that list.
Yeah. They mention Planned Parenthood in the blurb that they read about it, so I assume that's what it is.
Yeah, this is by no means an exhaustive list. There are a lot of books that I don't think should be on there. There's a lot of information that kids aren't able to get. There's a lot of comments about what if you are feeling like you are gay or trans or whatever, and you're just confused because you don't have any kind of representation in literature, in television or anything, because it's all been banned. You're so confused then. What do you do? How mm-hmm. do you react? And mm-hmm. this is coming from 10-year-olds. They understand this. So
right.
the adults need to catch right. up.
And again, what happens if you suppress all that? You grow up, you get married, you have a couple kids. Later in life, when you figure out that you don't give a fuck anymore about what other people think, then you have to deal with the fact that you've been married for 100 years. Mm-hmm. And you have to like change some things. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I really hope people come out and they live the life that they should have been living the whole time. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking to the people who want to force everybody into the box that you prescribed they should fit in. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. It's not good for people. It causes a wider, I don't know, circle of, not devastation, that's probably a little bit strong, but it affects more people if you just try to keep people from kind of living the life that they want to live. I just don't understand that. I don't understand. Like, you should just repress everything. That works best for me.
I think we've learned that abstinence in general has worked very well, statistically speaking. I mean, teaching abstinence only in schools has increased teen pregnancies a lot and STDs a lot, and making a law so people couldn't drink. I'm sure everyone just immediately stopped drinking, right? No, they ended up getting sick and dying and being disabled from the fucking denatured alcohol because they denatured it specifically so people wouldn't drink it to get drunk, but they still drank it. And then they got mm-hmm. sick and died because ketones are bad for you.
Right. Right.
It's never going to work. Education is always better. The more people know, the better they can make their own educated decisions. It's just better for everyone.
And we shouldn't involved. Fear that.
Yeah.
We shouldn't fear mm-hmm. it. It's okay to evolve as a society, as a person. All that's okay. Mm-hmm. Another one that caught my eye that's actually banned is Draw Me a Star by Eric Carle, who is the Very Hungry Caterpillar guy. Mm-hmm. Like the fuck on this one. So it's got a couple illustrations of a naked man and a naked lady.
Oh no. The pearls. Mm-hmm. The pearls.
Yeah. Don't get it. I don't get it. So I think those are the big ones that I wanted to mention. I will say at this point, Grace does come back on camera. And she has made the cutest little lap quilt, and it has all, like, it's got the titles of banned books as if they were books on a shelf is kind of what it looked like. You're reading the spines mm-hmm. and she's like, obviously this isn't all of them, but somebody behind her is holding it up. And again, she says she's the mother of liberty mm-hmm. and quit trying to control everybody. And she's a feisty broad. She's, you know, a lot of emotions coming from her about the death of her husband and why he did this. And I mean, he's been gone for a minute, but
right.
She's a hell of an advocate. And I really liked her for that.
I agree. And she gets essentially a standing ovation. I mean, I don't know if they stood up, but it was a huge applause when she was done and she was, you know, taken out. She was escorted out. It makes it sound like they took her out like shotgun style. She was right, escorted out.
Yeah.
The problem is I doubt once she left that anything changed. Nothing fucking changed.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but older women don't really have a great place of power in our society. Mm. Another problem. Mm. So she's probably easy to dismiss, which is so unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, oh yeah, he totally died for a country. Thanks for his service. But we're still banning the fucking books.
Right. Right. So anyway, total a not getting of the point on that. So at the end, because again, now we've talked over the length of this documentary, some of the last comments are, students in the film were given books of appropriate reading levels that were restricted, they were challenged, or they were banned. The idea is so the kids could read those books and then comment mm-hmm. on it. So I like that they're being like super punk rock in this documentary. Giving them kids them books. So
living on the edge. Right. I think I know Neil Gaiman and Stephen King and several other authors are very much, anytime they ban a book, that's the first one you need to go read it. Immediately go buy the book, go to the library and read it, because there's a reason why they're banning it and you need to know why.
I agree. And there's some authors I hadn't heard of in here. Rupi Kaur? I don't know who that is, but they've got a couple on here that are got some grown-up topics like sexual assault and possibly violence. Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing all the James Baldwin's definitely... books have been on the banned and restricted list. God forbid a black man speak right. about his experiences.
Right. So I don't know. There's one called Far From the Tree, Andrew Solomon. I did not find a lot of information about that, but the blurb led me to believe that it's banned because this is promoting honest discussions between parents and children. And I was like, well, we can't have that.
No.
Yeah. So, mm-mm.
Yeah, they also said at the end that at the completion of the film in August of 2023, the books featured were still contested by school districts and unavailable to students. So, yeah, we've come so far.
Yeah, it's really a problem. So I'm going to continue to read. That's my protest.
Yep. I will continue to give books to my kids and any other kid that wants them. And that's one of the things I very rarely ever say no to my kids is if they ask for a book. Like mm-hmm. games, stupid stuff, right? But books, they always knew that I would, yep, I'll totally buy you the books. Mm-hmm. So
I think the other thing I'd like to say is go vote. Go vote.
Yeah, I do say go vote because it's the only thing we can do. But there's so much gerrymandering in that going on. It means less and less. Your vote means less and less, which is unfortunate. But there's still no other option right now. I mean, so go vote, go mm-hmm. fight, go stand up, protest. If you can mm-hmm. safely, you know, do what you can. Not everyone has the same ability to do everything. So do what you can to right. make a difference.
And I always thought, as an uneducated American, like the local races didn't really matter. Like what I really should be paying attention to is the
national
higher up mm-hmm. stuff, right? Yeah, the national stuff. The state level stuff. But that's not the case. A lot of these school board yep, things.
That's voted in.
That's very grassroots. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of shit gets done. We've also learned the prosecutor. Boy, howdy, does that make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, if you give a shit about this kind of stuff, and the older I get, the rowdier I get about it. So, yeah, those are the things that when I look at this stuff, I'm like, oh, how can I be a thorn in the side of this.
Yep.
Well, one way I can do it is to vote. Yeah.
For every election, and usually every year there's something mm-hmm. up for election, right?
Yep. Yep.
Vote mm-hmm. every time.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you have an honorary for this one? There's only like
500 people.
A couple ladies. Yeah.
I did not. I think everyone who spoke up in this documentary is an honorary Aaron. And the documentary mm-hmm. documentarians who made the documentary are also honorary Aarons mm-hmm. because they all have that fighting spirit. So all of them.
There's a lot of female representation in this too. And I really dug that.
Yeah.
Okay. So next week, I'm pretty excited. We're going to do something a little off the wall. The Rock of Fire Explosion. You can find it on YouTube. And 2008 release, and it's about an hour and 11 minutes. Aaron, would you care to tell us?
Oh my gosh, you guys, this looks so bizarre, and I cannot wait to watch it. The blurb says, it's cult fan favorite documentary that explores the rise and fall of Showbiz Pizza Place, its animatronic rock band, and the origins of Chuck E. Cheese. So the name of the rock band, I'm pretty sure, was Rock of Fire Explosion. And so when you look it up in YouTube, you have to put the Rock of Fire explosion documentary. Otherwise, you just get a whole bunch of videos of the animatronic band, which is really weird and nightmare inducing. And I'm pretty sure that's where Five Nights at Freddy's or whatever that movie is kind of came from, because that's terrifying.
I've wondered about that. Yeah, it is really bizarre. As a kid, I don't remember being super creeped out about it, but I think I was maybe more enamored of the ball pit, and I wasn't hanging out by the band.
Yeah, so. I mean, you'd sit down long enough to shove some pizza in your face, and you're back playing the games, getting tickets and stuff. Right. Yeah.
So God bless my parents for putting up with that. Oh my God. Terrifying.
Yeah.
So
I hope you guys are able to find it and watch it and enjoy it, because I'm sure it's going to be a gem. I can't wait.
Sounds amazing. We'll catch you next week.
Yep. Have a good week, guys.
All right. Laters.
Bye.